You have a news guy hat, and do you do like fedoras and stuff too?
No.
No.
No, I don't do fedoras because I think people look pretentious in fedoras.
Yeah, like Bert. He always wears a fucking stupid fedora.
I don't think he could look pretentious if he wore an ascot.
I know.
There's so much working against him getting pretentious.
Yeah. Mostly his face.
Yeah. His face, his voice, his bad grooming.
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I feel like we would crush it as gay guys, though. Don't you feel like right now?
Well, you're in good shape. I mean, it really is. Like, being gay is like a varsity sport. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of working out that goes into it.
There really is.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, too, I was telling someone yesterday that I feel like the best compliment you can get is a gay guy compliment. Like, when a gay guy tells
you, yeah,
you look good, you're like, this is a good day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's totally like a woman being like, oh, cute. You're like, oh, thanks, feels good. But when the gay guy does it, I feel like that's the bar. Gay guy tells you you look good.
Yeah. Because like, they'll also shit on you. They'll also tell you how bad you look.
Yeah, exactly.
So a good comp. And that's why, like, I go out with my friend Tom. We'll go to gay bars. There's one in Venice called the Rooster Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And his running joke is always like, hey, it's straight night at the Rooster Fish. You want to go? And then I go, and, like, I had this newsboy cap on, you know, the newsy cap.
Yeah.
And then I became, like, and this is when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I became like a character. Like, they were all like, hey, you want to, yeah, I'll buy a paper. You know, all those, like, we're just talking about how gay guys do that.
Yeah.
And Tom was so jealous because he was getting no attention, but it was the fucking hat.
That hat, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a news guy hat. And do you do like fedoras and stuff too?
No.
No.
No, I don't do fedoras because I think people look pretentious in fedoras.
Yeah. Like Bert. He always wears a fucking stupid fedora.
I don't think he could look pretentious if he wore an ascot.
I know.
There's so much working against him getting pretentious.
Yeah. Mostly his face.
Yeah. His face, his voice, his bad grooming, his belly.
Did you see the fucking post he put up of his bed sheets?
No.
Dude. So he's shooting this movie in Serbia.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm changing the sheets for the first time since getting here. And he...
What?
But like, you're like, wait, what comes out of you?
What the fuck is on his head? It's brown.
It's all his pretentiousness.
Do you think he's
seeping into the fucking sheets?
Do you think he uses Propecia? Why do you think it's brown?
Mm.
Not Propecia, but what's it? Rogaine is the shit.
Oh, yeah.
I used to use Rogaine and I rubbed it in and my fucking pillows got destroyed.
Oh, that's exactly what that
he's
is.
He's using Rogaine.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about,
well,
there's not Rogaine on his legs, right? Like, what the fuck's going on down there?
What is that?
He's so gross.
Oh, that poor maid. That room does not look nice.
Mm-mm.
Did he say it's rugged? Are the rooms rugged?
That's a house that he's renting.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a house. And he said it was cool, but I mean, that doesn't look cool.
Oh, is that pubic hair?
Probably.
It looks like gray pubic hair.
But also, I mean, there's all these revelations of like how gross he can be. Like, you know, a few months ago, he was like, I've cut down on showering so much. And I was like, why? And he was like, because I got a pool.
Oh, and
I was like, I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, I just jump in the pool. I go, that's not a shower. He goes, I use it as a shower. I'm like, that's not a shower. And then he also, like, a month later, he was like, dude, guess what I did this morning? And I go, what? He goes, I brushed my teeth. And I go, okay. And he's like, I haven't done that in a while. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, I don't brush my teeth. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, but I floss a lot. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, yeah, he's that guy.
Dude, when you don't brush, but you floss... Like, when I floss, and then I don't wash my hands, my fingers smell like a fucking rotten tooth.
They do. Yeah. Yes.
So you, so that's what the brushing is for.
Yeah, yeah, and the film, like the kind of gathers on. Like he just lives with that.
Wow. Yeah. Is this method acting? Is he doing this for the role?
I mean, it could be, man. I don't know. I don't know. It's just how he's been doing it, man. But he also does so many he cuts his toenails and tapes them under a coffee table in the family room.
No.
Yeah.
That, why?
Because he's just like he's like OCD. I have things I do. Yeah. Yeah. He's just nasty, man. He's so gross.
My wife yells at me if I cut my toenails and I throw them in the toilet and I don't flush it, she fucking yells at me.
Because she sees them.
Yeah, she doesn't want to see them in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll clip them and they'll be like, ding dong. And then, you know, Christine will be like, hey, are you getting those? I'm like, yeah, I'll get them in a minute. And then, you know,
wait, where do you leave them?
I just wherever they go. Yeah.
You mean like on the floor?
Yeah, like wherever they shoot off to, I'll just usually leave them. Unless I'm like, sometimes I'll go, I'll try to be more, you know, I'll try to be a gentleman. So if I see them, I'll gather them.
Yeah.
But there's also times where I'm sitting there and I'm just doing that and they're shooting off and I just leave them.
Yeah. That's how you know you're getting old is like, you get those brittle toenails. When you cut them, they shoot places.
Yeah.
When you're young, you can just clip the corner and peel it
right
off. Give it a nice soft peel.
Yeah, yeah. And now,
ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah. Across the room.
Shoot yourself in the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta wear goggles when you clip your toenails.
Well, you see like old dudes' toenails and you're like, holy shit, that's on the horizon?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I really think about how bad I'm gonna look in just a couple of years, just based on like the men older than me in my family. I'm like, you guys look like shit.
Oh, like, right.
Yeah, they don't look good.
Dude, my dad died when he was 52 and I'm now 55.
Wow.
I look like my dad looked when he was 30.
Really?
Like when he died, he looked like an old fucking man.
Really?
I mean, you look at these old TV shows and movies of people when they were 60 were practically using canes.
Yeah.
They were so old at 60.
Yeah. It's weird. Some people look old forever too.
Yeah.
Like actors and stuff. You're like, when was that guy ever not old?
Right. Right.
There's just like a look.
Yeah. Like John Voight just always looked old.
Yeah. Exactly. He looks old as fuck. He is old now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, he really looks like.
I was on a flight one time and I was, it was my first development deal and I was living in New York and Fox was flying me out. And I'd been doing comedy like 7 or 8 years and I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I was paying $600 in rent. I could barely fucking pay it. And so they put me on a first class flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is actually the flight home. So I'm on a first class flight. I was out the whole night the night before. And all I'm thinking is I got the window seat. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to sleep the entire flight. This is great. I sit down. All of a sudden the guy flops down next to me and he goes, and I got my eyes closed. I see him coming. So I close my eyes and he slaps me on the arm. He goes, how you doing? I'm John. And I was like, oh Jesus fucking Christ. I go, hey, nice to meet you. And then I put my head back down again and he keeps talking to me and I keep kind of like cutting him off. And so finally the flight takes off. And as soon as the seatbelt sign is off, this guy's in the aisles. Everybody wants to meet him. Hey, John, blah, 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 big fan. Blah. And now all of a sudden, you know, being the fucking star fucker wannabe that I am at this point.
Yeah.
He sits down. I was like, hey, so how's it going, man? And we start talking. And he goes, so what do you do? And I was like, well, let me tell you, John.
I'm on this flight for a reason.
I got working on a little TV project right now with the Fox Network, and I'm a comedian and blah, blah, blah. And then I go, what do you do? And he goes, I won an Oscar. And I was like, oh, I go, I'm so sorry. He goes, don't worry about it, John Voight. It was John Voight. But you got to understand, look at his face before and after.
Yeah.
Like he had a certain age and his face just sank.
Yeah.
It bloated and it sank. Look at him when he's young. And so we started talking and he was on his way to his father's deathbed back in New York.
Wow.
And his father was a greenskeeper at a golf course his whole life. And so we started talking about golf because I grew up playing golf and so did he. We both grew up in Westchester County and we started bonding and we talked for 5 hours straight. And
wow.
My father had just died. Like And so we were talking about that, and then he gave me his home phone number, and he gave me his home address, and he's like, you know, we're going to hang out and spend time. And I never called the guy. I never reached out.
You should call him now. And just be like, how can we get Trump back in office?
Oh, he's a Trumpy.
Oh, big time.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Yeah, he did those things where he was like, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump is the greatest president since Abraham. Like, he's like a hardcore. Wow. Like, yeah, like one of the people who's like.
Meanwhile, his daughter is the voice of the left.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I mean, we all know Angelina Jolie is, you know, a beautiful. But like, do you ever like look at. I mean, she looks like she was manufactured. She's so, yeah. Like, there's a level of perfection. Like, it's almost overwhelming
yeah.
to look at
yeah.
At her. Like, that face. Look at that face.
It's insane.
Man.
And still at this age, still looks incredible. I met her in her prime.
Really?
And I couldn't speak.
That type of face.
Yeah. I used to be a writer on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, which we can get into later.
Yeah.
And so... They asked me, it was St. Patrick's Day, and Ellen asked me to dress as a leprechaun and come out on stage. And this is where, yeah, if you're wondering the low point of my career.
When you say she asked me, you're like, this is not a request.
It wasn't a request.
Yeah, yeah,
I had
yeah,
to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 you're doing this.
And so, and you know, sometimes your career is so bad that you really think like, oh, this is a good opportunity. I get to dress up as the leprechaun today.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting backstage about to go out onto the stage, and Angelina comes over and she sits in the director's chair 3 inches from me. And she goes, she looks at me and she starts laughing. And I felt like the guy, remember in Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
uh-huh.
when the guy is in the car and he's dressed as a pirate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's delivering the food.
Mm-hmm.
And he's eyeing this girl in the next car and he's smiling at her. Yeah. And then she starts laughing and he realizes how he's dressed.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you feel. Yeah, it's the worst feeling in the world. It's so humiliating.
Oh, God.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the most humiliating moment in your career?
In my career? I mean, I'll tell you one. There's a few.
Yeah.
But one that I always go like, oh, man, the shame I felt was I got hired to do audience warm-up for Last Comic Standing Season 2.
Yeah.
Show was really big. It's a really big show.
Right.
At the time.
This is in Vegas?
No, this is Last Comic Standing. It's shooting it here in L.A. Mm-hmm. And so at the time... I'm a few years in. I have in total, I could probably, let's say, do 40 minutes, like with a gun to my head.
Yeah.
And I can do 15 to 20 minutes clean.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, and this is in a theater here in LA. I forget like what point of it's like the show has been, the guy who was doing it, you know, is not available this week. So the show has been like on the air for a while. And I go, and they're like, okay, the guy gives me a mic, go ahead and go out there. I go out there, I do like, let's say 10 minutes, and it goes great. I come off, and he's like, all right, we're gonna do something else, setting up, just can you go back out there? I go, sure. I do my next 10 minutes, goes great. And they're like, great, we're gonna roll now. I was like, man, that was awesome, you know? And it's like, it's a big crowd. It's like probably the biggest crowd I performed in front of.
Yeah.
And then they start taping the show, and like a few minutes in, he's like, we're going to reset. I just need to go back out there. The camera wasn't like coming down right. So we have to reset it and everything. So just, can you go back out there? And I go, what do you need me to do? And he's like, warm up. And I was like, I know, but like how long? He's like, I don't know, like 45 minutes. And I was like, I don't have that. And they were like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
and I'm like,
shit.
I did everything that I can do.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, I mean, you're the audience warm up. Like, just go out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I pulled a guy aside. I go, well, you have to like give me something. And he's like what? I go, are there shirts?
I've heard of shirt cannons. Yeah. You got a shirt cannon?
Yeah, you have one of those. And they're like, we can find something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what about music? Can you play music? And he's like, yeah. What do you want to do? I was like, I don't know, a fucking dance contest or something. So I ended up bringing audience members on stage and I would dance with them.
No.
Yes. It was humiliating.
Oh, shit.
It was humiliating.
Are you a good dancer?
Not really. I mean, not the best.
So you're just doing that white guy shuffle?
Yeah, I was doing the white guy shuffle. Yeah. And then I remember I got heckled by somebody at a TV taping. He was like, somebody said something. He was like, do they pay you? And I was like, what? He's like, do they pay you? And I was like, yeah. He goes, they pay you too much. I was like, okay. But I just was dying inside.
Dude, that's like, I had a girl give me a blowjob one time.
Yeah.
And then afterward, like literally 10 minutes later, she starts getting on top of me to have sex. But like, I was done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this is. Yeah. I was done.
Yeah.
And she was a waitress at the Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, New Jersey. And her name was Kristen. And she fucking got so mad at me, she practically hit me.
Really?
Yeah, because the thing is, I should have stopped her before I came on the blowjob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was so good.
Yeah.
And then I came back to New York and I was like, yeah, this waitress Kristen at Catch in Princeton, it's like, she's super hot. She's a physical therapist. She's so, should I be saying all this?
Yeah.
And then it turns out, like, you know, Greg Rogel had fucked her the week before. Like, each comic I talked to had that. I was like, no wonder she got me off so fast. She's practicing.
She's working these comic dicks out.
I remember it was one of those things where it's like, because she worked in the club as a waitress, she wasn't allowed to come up to the rooms. You're not allowed to just like wander the hotel when you're an employee. And so she said that, and I go, oh, so I guess we can't go back to my place. She's like, no, if you pull up behind parking lot C, and then there's a door that you can jimmy.
I've been here a few times.
Yeah. She's just in her first rodeo.
Holy shit.
You ever have sex with a waitress and find out other comics had sex with her?
No. Before I started dating Christina, I went and did a show in Orange County, and I picked up a girl at like a bar show, and I did something like totally out of character, which was like express extreme confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, watch this, like that kind of thing. She was like, okay. And then we started making out.
Watch this.
Yeah. Outside of the bar. And then she was like, I mean, I was going to drive back to LA, and I go, I forgot how this happened, but like, are you staying down here? And she was like, I think we're going to spend the night here. My friend's coming from out of town. And I was like, you should get a hotel room. And she was like, oh yeah, I should. And then I walked her into a hotel, and then I was like, I'm not paying for that. I was like, I don't have any money. So she got a room, and we went up there and we started making out, and I thought we were going to have sex. And then at one point she stops and she's like, oh, my friend is on her way. I was like, she'll find it. She's like, no, I have to like make sure she finds this place. And I'm like, all right, like text her or something. Her friend ends up showing up like 10 minutes later and comes to the room and is like, who are you? Right. To me, she's like looking out for her friend. I'm like, I'm Tom.
Yeah, yeah, I'm Tom. And then, and watch this.
And the best was that her friend, who I'm making out with, goes, he's a comedian. And she's like, what? Like, is that supposed to be impressive to me?
Yeah, he's a circus clown.
Yeah, he's a clown. And then the friend was like, I think we're done for the evening. Like, you know,
I was like, all right.
But that's like my only road experience with that, because I was dating like shortly thereafter, you know, we've been together since, I don't know, 15 years or something. So I never got to do like road hookup stuff.
Oh no.
Never. I know, it's really sad.
Wow. That's literally why 90% of comedians get into it.
I know.
That's why I got into it.
I know. No, I know. It's, I mean, I would do real well now if Christina like tripped and fell down the stairs, you know, something bad happened. I would do real well.
Yeah, you would do great.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow. How have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Yeah.
Sure, you're in shape now. What are you doing to be in shape? What the fuck's going on?
Eating like a boring person. You know, I'm just eating clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I eat egg whites and, you know.
Because last time I talked to you when you were still living in the Palisades, you told me you had a boxing instructor and you were going doing, like 3 days a week.
I was doing all it, but I wasn't eating like clean.
Right.
I would just eat everything.
Yeah.
And then work out. And it doesn't work for me.
So what'd you have for breakfast?
I had egg whites with spinach.
Holy shit.
And I had a couple pieces of bacon and water and coffee and a bunch of vitamins and supplements.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then I'll have a meal bar after this. And then I'll have like chicken or salmon for lunch.
Damn. Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's the only other way. Otherwise, I'm going to be like 350 pounds, man.
Yeah.
You know? So it's either like you at a certain point, you're like, this is going to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I already realized that, you know, the older I get, the harder it is to manage. So you just have to be like consistent with
it. No, this thing, the dad bod, like this literally, and I'm 152 pounds.
Crazy.
I have been for 30 years.
That is wild.
Within a pound. But the shoulder muscles are gone.
Uh-huh.
The tits are saggy.
Uh-huh.
And I got this fucking huge belly.
You do, oh, well, your version
look,
of huge.
Look at this.
Oh my God, you enormous pig.
it bothers me though. So
what do you do anything like activity wise? Like,
oh yeah, I was at the gym yesterday.
Okay. So you're doing weight resistance?
I do that. I took a 20-mile bike ride on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I do shit. I'm playing golf today.
Weights are like the best though.
It's just, I'm not doing enough weights. I do weights like once or twice a week.
Yeah, you just got to up that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to up that. And then it's good for your bones too, your joints, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you do that, you also got to eat a lot of protein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lean protein is probably the best, you know?
Right.
Because then otherwise you eat the protein you want and then they're like, you know, your arteries are clogged now.
Yeah.
So like, right. You have to go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. It's no fun, but I think the whole thing is like, I don't know. Now I realize that when I have like, when I eat something, like last week, because we were all, you know, Christina was back from the hospital and it, like things were chaotic at home. So one day she's like, I ordered pizza for dinner. I haven't had pizza in a long time. I have a few slices of pizza. Dude, the next morning I was just on the toilet for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Because
your body
shocks my system of like, what's all this trash you put in here?
Yeah. Right.
So now I just feel like, the thing is like, it's not exciting sometimes to eat the healthy thing, but I feel better.
Yeah.
Like physically I.
More energy.
Yep. More energy. And I don't feel like, oh, you know, like that doubled over. And I think about how crazy it is that I would eat myself to that feeling all the time before.
Yeah.
Like if you would have been like, you know, how do you feel today? I'd be like, well, I just ate the craziest fucking breakfast followed by the craziest lunch.
Yeah.
I've had diarrhea three times today. Yeah. I feel sick, but yeah, I'm ready. Let's go out.
Yeah.
Let's go do something, you know? And like, you just walk through life like that.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You push, like, I find the biggest hurdle for me right now is energy.
Yeah.
Like, just, I think I eat shit. I eat sandwiches with bread, you know? Yeah. You know how sandwiches are made, right?
Yeah, bread, and then sometimes you put like meat or cheese or something on there, or a condiment or something.
But you put it in between, so two pieces.
You got to have two pieces of bread.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you take soft stuff and you rub it on the sides before you put the meat on, like...
What, like mustard or something?
Mustard.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise. Yeah, things like that.
Are you a mayo fan?
I'm a huge mayo fan.
Me too. What's up with this anti-mayo shit?
There's anti-mayo going on now?
Oh, there's a lot of anti-mayo people.
Oh,
they don't look like us, but a lot of people
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anti-mayo. And I'm like, I don't know what your problem is, you know?
To me, mayo feels like it's eggs, right?
Yeah.
It's delicious. You're just rubbing eggs on shit.
I know. Who doesn't like... You ever meet somebody who doesn't like eggs? They're fucking weird, too.
I don't like eggs.
You don't like eggs?
I mean, I eat them, but I don't like them.
Oh, okay.
I eat them because I know they're a perfect food.
Yeah.
You have, like, eggs... Avocado. There's certain things that you can just eat as much as you want.
What? Because eggs can be prepared so many ways. What's your way to eat?
I should say I don't like them in the morning because I find they're too rich and it like bogs me down.
Okay, that's kind of what we're talking about. Like you,
right?
It can be, you know, too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
But deviled eggs, I'll eat all fucking day.
Yeah, man. I can eat eggs and I don't know. Some. It's one of those foods that I'm all about all the time.
Yeah.
I love it. Scrambled, fried, basted, poached.
Whatever. Poached is nice.
Yeah.
Some grits with a couple poached eggs on it with a lot of butter.
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're turning me on.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to blow you and ask you to fuck me after. It's so exciting.
What does that have to do with grits?
I don't know. You talked about the girl that was fucking blowing you and then...
It's fucking...
I'm all turned on. I don't know.
But we're talking about food. It just seems like...
Can I just give you a blow? I thought we were gay. I thought we were doing a gay thing today.
Just till the end of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, then we go back to normal.
Yeah, we'll be straight afterwards.
Yeah, but yeah.
Let's blow each other up.
I think I would be fucking good at sucking a dick.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I just really understand how my penis works.
Yeah.
And
don't think I would do it poorly.
No.
No.
I wouldn't swallow. That's for damn sure. Not swallowing. No, I'm deaf, and it's not going in my face. It's gonna be rolling the dice, over the shoulder. I'm gonna wear a bib, like a baby bib, you know, when you're burping your baby.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have that on my shoulder, and I'm gonna crank it like that.
Dude, face shots have to suck.
Oh my God!
Because I could be like,
no. And also, you've just done a really nice thing for somebody.
Yeah.
Why do they want you humiliated at the end of it?
I don't know. People are fucked up, man.
Right. Yeah. I should have a smile on my face. I've done something really nice for you. It should be a kind look.
I know. I think I might be like, all right, you could shoot it on my tits, but there's so much hair. Cleanup's going to take forever. I mean, look at this. You jizz all over that?
Yeah. Dude, you ever jerk off in the shower and the cum gets caught in your shin hairs?
Yeah. Or like they dry to these hairs on your knuckles. And afterwards you're like, why are they all tight? So much glue on my fucking knuckles. Yeah.
And you can't scrape that shit out in the shower.
No.
It's like these globules.
Yeah.
And... Yeah.
Man, I'm not sending my mom this episode. Wait, I got to ask you, because it was like such big news and entertainment.
What?
With Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
What
was your experience of?
My hands are a little bit tied because I signed a non-disclosure agreement when I worked for the show, but I can talk about it in the sense that we've all read the news.
Yeah.
And... I can say that there's a writer's thread that's going that I'm on, a text chain of writers that could be published as a book because it's so fucking funny. The joy, the pure joy on 100% of the faces of people that have worked there.
This is happening.
This is no joke. This is no like, a couple of disgruntled people. No.
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 It's a lot.
Yeah.
And do you, and does it, you know, the fish stinks from the head? It's like, it's all somebody's fault, right?
Yeah.
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 And I mean, look at your crew. Look how fucking happy everybody is here. Like, I actually think about the way you guys run your podcast studio and how people will work so hard for you when you're just decent to them.
Yeah.
And they're doing it for the right reasons. People don't work hard when they're being treated cruelly. They work out of fear. So it's never their best work.
Damn. Yeah, that's true.
You're afraid to step up a little bit and do a little extra because you can actually, if you do something a little bit off, you're
right.
fired.
Right.
So you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
And not even stepping an inch outside
right.
the line.
Right.
Yeah, that's scary. It's sad.
Yeah.
And it's also wildly unnecessary, right? Like when you hear these stories, you're like, well, you know that you don't have to be this way.
When you make an employee get in a leprechaun outfit and he's Irish,
yeah,
that's just cruel. That's yeah. that's racism.
Yeah.
I think that, why wouldn't that be? Think about other races. Would you have taken a Chinese employee on the Chinese New Year and put him in one of those big pagoda hats yeah. and made him dance to gong music?
I mean, I wish we had one, but no. man.
I mean, like Black History Month, would you take a black employee and dress him up in like native African garb?
No. I definitely would not. We have a very nice black man here and I would never disrespect you like that. Fuck no. No.
You know?
Yeah, but there's that thing where I think you go like, oh, he's Irish. We can definitely fuck with the Irish guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like the Italians, you'd be like, yeah, let's pour marinara sauce on his head. Who gives a shit?
I would say Irish is probably the like, if you think about what races, for instance, I could call somebody an Irishman, a yes. Frenchman.
Yep.
Don't say Chinaman.
Cannot.
I can...
you can do those accents too.
Right.
Irish, French.
Not the Chinese one.
That doesn't, I mean.
No.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's always funny. That's yeah. the thing. You hear the Asian like comics do it, Margaret Cho, Bobby Lee. It yeah. is hilarious
yeah,
to hear Bobby
hilarious.
Do an impression of his father.
Nothing
but it's
better.
One of those things, it's got to be from him.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah.
But Irish, you can certainly make fun of our accent.
Yeah.
You can make fun of us being alcoholics, which is a fucking tragic disease that has ruined my family. My father died at 52. But it's a fucking running joke. You can make fun of us being pedophile priests.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one, too. It's like, sometimes, you know, you meet people, right? And I don't know, it just comes up and they'll be like, what about you? How were you raised? And I'll be like, Catholic. They're like, oh, yeah, did you get fucked? And you're like, what? Like, right out of the gate. Did you get fucked when you were a little boy? And you're like, no. Thank you. It's nice to meet you. You're like, God.
Any other follow-up questions
yeah.
to that?
And they're like, I know you grew up with a bunch of molesters around. You're like, no,
yeah,
not
yeah.
everyone was
right.
like that. But
right.
yeah, no, that people feel totally free to do that. You can't say that shit. That's like the only thing that people feel totally comfortable saying. Like if your religious belief is such, you know, or if you were brought up a certain way, you don't say that shit. Like you meet a Muslim guy or a Jewish guy, you're not like, you don't go right to the worst.
Right.
like people would be like, are you out of your
yeah,
mind?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you say it to a Catholic person, everyone's like, yeah, you guys get fucked.
Right.
And like, all right,
right.
man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My brother was an altar boy and he had a good experience. They were nice priests. But then I found out later that two of the priests in our parish, I shouldn't say their names. Father McDonough and Father Ryan. They were fucking women from the parish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's tight. That's
and that's
cool.
like, that's how you get the dick out of the boy's ass.
Yeah.
You put it into the woman's vagina.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys just want to fuck.
Someone's got to fuck.
It's a biological need,
yes.
man. We got to bust nuts.
I mean, not only can you not fuck, you can't be married, so you don't have someone to go to bed with at
yeah.
night and
I think
share
technically
things with.
They're like not even supposed to masturbate.
Not know? Supposed to masturbate.
What are we asking these guys to do, man? It's insane.
Not only that, but did you read like this past week there was a nun who got arrested for embezzlement from
I heard
Catholic
about
school, $870,000. And you know why she was embezzling the money?
Huh.
She had a gambling problem.
Hilarious.
How fucking funny is that?
That's hilarious.
Because if you think, yeah, there. Oh,
was it in Torrance? It's right down.
Oh, was it really?
I think it's what I just.
St. James Catholic School of Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so funny because if you think about.
By the way, this guy in here's got a little problem himself. Don't give him any ideas.
Oh, really?
He's going to convert to Catholicism this week.
Yeah, check out St. Anthony's. They got some money laying around.
Jesus Christ,
St. Man. James. No, but it's funny when you think about, like, obviously she's not good at betting. She has taken a vow of poverty and dressed like an idiot, betting that there's a heaven afterwards is going to pay her off for that. I got bad news for her. She made a bad bet. Yeah. No wonder she's $800,000 in debt.
Holy shit.
She took the fucking under on the Patriots in the Super Bowl, too.
God damn, dude. $500,000 to fun trips to Vegas?
Do you think she wore the habit?
I hope not.
She had a gambling habit.
She.
I'm sorry. It was sitting there. It was just sitting there.
She better stayed in suites for that. I hope she wasn't like, that's not like 1,000 trips, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Staying at the Sands or something. I hope she was staying at the Villas.
Well, if she was spending $800,000, they probably comped her a nice room.
Yeah, no shit. Man, I wonder what kind of betting she was. You think she was just like sport, or she's going to Vegas? Maybe she's a poker
tables. Yeah, she was on the tables. I would think
blackjack.
Well, here's the thing: is if you play Texas Hold'em and you bluff, nobody thinks you're bluffing. You're a fucking nut.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in,
you can bluff
gear.
Your way through the game.
Yeah, that's true. Are you a gambler? Like, do you like?
I got a poker game I've been playing for like 15 years out here.
Really?
Yeah.
The poker, I never got into it.
Well, it's really just social. We're not good at it.
Okay.
And it's a lot of, everybody just smokes pot and
okay.
It's a lot of writers, like comedy writers and directors. And so it's very like, people just tell jokes and shit on each other. You know, there's a black guy, there's a Jew, there's the Irish guy, there's the Italian guy. So there's a lot of racist jokes that fly around.
Yeah.
We need a gay guy. If anybody is gay that plays poker.
Are you gay?
Hit me up on Twitter.
Do you play poker? Nadav wants to know, how about another Jew?
Yeah.
He's in there. Is he welcome?
The trouble is, they're pretty good. Jews are pretty good at poker.
Oh. Let's see. There he's like, yeah, I'm in, yeah.
Does he play online?
He plays everything.
Yeah. No, I don't want that guy. No, okay. We suck. We suck and we play stupid games like Follow the Queen and AC Ducey. And like, I mean, we play some Texas Hold'em, but we mostly just play like weird games.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I went to a poker game, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. I got invited to a poker game in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I told the guy, I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. He's like, oh, that's fine. And I got there and they were like more serious players.
Yeah.
And then I was doing shit. Like, I don't even know terms, but like call and like bets. And they were like, everybody was like, this guy is fucking aggressive. You know? And then I would just like lose my ass. Uh-huh. And someone was like, do you even know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely not. And they were like, fucking stop. Don't sit here.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here, man.
That's weird. Cause I picture you as a poker player just cause you're kind of a man's man.
No, never. I mean, I, the only game I would play regularly when I was like going to casinos for like, you know, for fun, I'd play blackjack.
Yeah.
And then I had an agent who was really into craps and I couldn't wrap my head around it. He was like,
yeah,
he took me in and was showing me and I was like, I don't understand what the fuck's going on, man.
Yeah.
It was like calculus to me.
Right.
But I never, yeah, I used to go, if I'm in Vegas and go to the sports book and there's a, you know, if there's something going on, I might do it for fun, but I would never bet big money.
Right.
You know, it would just be like, just something to entertain myself.
Well, the sports book one is fun because now if you go to some of the casinos, they've got really nice seating with table service, and then they give you like an iPad and you bet as the game is going. You can bet like
really?
They're going to score on this drive.
Oh, wow.
Or you can bet like, you know, a black guy or a white guy is going to score next.
What?
No, you can't.
Okay.
But that should be a thing. That should be a thing.
Definitely black.
Jewish is a long shot.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, he pays 1,000 to 1.
1,000 to 1, easy, yeah. Man. Jew. They're like, there's no Jews in the game. Just fucking bet it.
Now coming out of the field.
Ira Rothstein.
Oh, and Rothstein took a tough hit. He's suing the defensive tackle.
Oh, shit. Dude. You know, I was thinking about the, you're talking about John Voight. This is not a famous person, but on my flight here this week, we're on the approach. Like, they're like, you know, put your seat up, seatbelt on. The lady sitting next to me, I could see her mouth moving. I have like these big black earbuds in. And I turn and she was like, and I was like, what? She goes, oh, I didn't see you had something in your ear. And I go, oh yeah. She goes, so what do you do? And I was like, right now? Like, we're about to land.
Yeah, right, right, right.
And I was like, oh, I work at entertainment. She's like, what do you do? And I was like, podcasts?
Yeah.
She's like, I like podcasts. And I was like, are we really starting this right now?
Oh my God.
And she talked from that, like from the moment she said that,
yeah,
until we got to the gate.
Right.
Like just, and she's a dentist and she told me like all these stories.
Uh-huh.
I watched her drink three like mid-size bottles of wine.
You know? Really?
Yeah. Like they had the, they didn't give you, like for wine, they don't, they're not, it's not a bottle of wine.
Right.
It's not like the booze. Yeah. It's like mid-size. And she was like, just
And this was in the morning?
What time did the flight leave? It was early afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she was like super chatty, like loving.
Yeah, I have days where I'm into it, you know, because it comes from my mother. My mother's the kind of woman, like if she takes a taxi to the airport from her house,
uh-huh.
When they get to the airport, the driver will get out, get her bag out of the back, and then there's a long hug and an exchange of numbers.
Really?
Like that's how my mother is.
Because she'll like connect with them.
On the plane, she'll know your fucking son got married and he's working at AT&T. Like she'll know and remember everything about the person.
Wow. And you do that sometimes.
Sometimes I get in that mood.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
From time to time. I heard the wildest shit ever from an Uber driver this week. I mean, this fucking, my jaw dropped. It was a 15 minute ride.
Uh-huh.
It was from my house to a restaurant. I get in the car with him. He has an accent. I ask him where he's from. And he says, Monterrey, Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, yeah, my buddy married a girl from Monterey. And I go, do you go back there? And he goes, no. I go, yeah, it's pretty dangerous. And he goes, that's why I don't go back. And I go, oh. He goes, yeah, the cartel, you know, they just fucked with me and fucked with my friends. And I go, really? Dude. He goes, one day, my friend owned a ranch with like, you know, a farm. And the cartel stole one of his trailers with livestock on it. But it had a GPS tracker on it. So my friend was able to find where his trailer was and get it back. He just took it back, right? He didn't like fight people for
right.
it. They just found it and they took it back. He goes, 3 months later, these guys showed up and I was at my friend's house. And they took us all and they killed my friends in front of me.
No.
And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, they just...
Holy shit.
And they tortured one and like cut him open and
no!
stuff. And I was like...
Fuck, all over a trailer?
Yeah. And then I go... And then he goes, they kept me for 45 days. And I go, why didn't they kill you? And he goes, I asked him. And the guy said, because we like you. Like he was just like, you know, personal, like funny or whatever. And they were just like, we like you. And then I was like... And how did you get released? He goes, dropped me off on the highway between two towns. They just let me off on the road. And he goes, I got to a phone. I called my wife who thought I was dead because it'd been 45 days. And so she was like freaking out. And he goes, yeah. And then we left here. All right, we're at your stop. You want to get out? And I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
No like, shit.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I got to stay in the car for a while.
Damn. I feel like I have to sell your story to fucking Steven Soderbergh.
I mean, it was just like the wildest shit.
Wow.
And he goes, I asked one of the guys, he goes, he asked one of the hitmen, like, you know, after a while, like, how, you know, isn't it hard to kill people? And he goes, the first time it's hard. He goes, by the third time, you don't even think about it. He was like, phew. And that guy's pay was on payroll from the cartel.
Yeah.
Hit for $100,000 a week.
No shit.
Yeah. He's like, so they're getting paid just like crazy money.
Damn.
He's like killing people like every week.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then he was just like, all right, this is your stop.
That's a 5-star right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, five, yeah. Tip, $100 tip.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I had a guy once, I was in Buffalo and I wanted to go see Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So I took an Uber, which is a pretty long Uber. It's like a good half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get this driver and he's from Africa. He was from, what's the country that's always got a fucking drought? Good restaurants, skinny as hell with big heads.
Ethiopia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that racist?
I don't know.
You guessed it.
We got it.
It's only racist if you didn't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we got it. If I was like Botswana, you're like, no, you fucking pig. It worked perfectly. First guess, too, guys.
So this guy drives me and he tells me this story about how he brought his wife over here from Ethiopia and they're Muslim. And that his wife started working. She took a class at a community college. She wasn't obeying him anymore. And he was yelling at her and he was hitting her. And he's telling me this in a way of like, yeah, so, you know, so I hit her. So she stopped going to classes and she left him. And he's fucking devastated because you don't leave your husband in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so I was like, wow, this guy doesn't, and he just didn't get it. And he's like, he hates this country because of the way women act independently.
Yeah.
So I get to the falls and then I take another Uber home again. I get another Ethiopian driver, another wife who started not wearing her fucking headdress.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to work and isn't obeying, and she left him.
He's devastated.
And he's devastated.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be such a huge cultural shock to people that grow up in that environment.
Right.
To come here.
Yeah.
And see, you know, like women do everything, right?
Just so imagine being one of those women who live. Yeah. It's incredible how many women on this planet live lives where they're completely oppressed and subjugated.
Yeah.
You know, like you see, like right now with the Taliban has taken over again in Afghanistan, and all these schools that were set up for women to study are being torched. Girls are being killed for going to school. And like literally the rule is if you're a girl, you don't get to learn anything.
Yeah. It's
insane.
It's insane.
And yeah. This is not a small pocket of the world. This is a large part of, you know, the Middle East.
Yeah. Parts of the Middle East, parts of Africa, for sure.
Right.
It's like, it's just go get water and make babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feed them. Yeah.
Right.
And the idea that they would want to learn or something is like outrageous.
And the worst part is like, and the women there are not allowed to vote, and yet they're forced to dress as voting booths.
I wasn't expecting that one. God damn, Greg, you feel like you walked me into that for 5 minutes. You're like, I don't give a fuck about women. I just wanted to drop that joke.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
Back of my head hurts.
I found myself getting too serious.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I wanted to bring this up because you did something that has to feel satisfying to do. So, like, I don't know, like a month or so ago, I was in a chat, a text thread, and we were all talking about this bit you had posted about COVID.
About fucking the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if that was the cure? to COVID. And like you had COVID, you're about to die, and then you just want to get laid. You're on, you know, you're home like to die, and then you fuck the dog, and then the next day you're like, oh my God, I'm cured.
Yeah.
And then you have the dilemma of like, do I share this with the world, or just, you know, and know I can save lives. It was a really funny bit. So a bunch of us reposted it. You know?
Oh yeah, it was like Rogan, Ari, you.
Yep.
Maybe somebody Bert else too. Maybe Bert.
So we reposted, and then you got a bunch of comments about, oh, this is from South Park, and then you did the thing which I've wanted. You know, sometimes you get a message and somebody's accusing you of something and you engage, or sometimes you ignore, but you actually posted you coming up with the origins of the bit on Rogan before that South Park episode aired.
And that has
to feel so satisfying to actually just, because then I actually saw people being like, my bad, and you're like, yeah, well then, you know, do a little research.
Well, the thing is I don't think, when it comes to trolls, they don't give up easily. So I post a clip and I go, all right, this is April 2nd, 2020. Me and Rogan riffing about this. It was an idea I had. And then he had some funny things to say about it also. And then here is South Park in September 2020 doing a bit that a lot of people were just like, this isn't even the same bit.
Right. That's the other thing when people go, you stole something verbatim.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what verbatim means?
Right,
or like,
right.
It's not even the same.
And so so I post a bit showing both sides, and then it was, well, it's not fucking funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then it's like, well, I'm not going to say I'm wrong. I'm just going to like take another troll tactic and say it's just not funny.
Yes.
But it got like 7 million views and it had 35,000 comments.
Jesus Christ.
No, 3,500 comments, sorry. And they were like, a lot of them saying I stole the bit.
Yeah.
Which is like, as a comic, there's nothing worse you can say about somebody.
Sure, then you stole that bit.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing comedy for 31 years. This would have been the first time I'm accused of stealing.
Yeah.
So, and it can ruin your career. It can literally like
end
your fucking career.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, it's nice that you actually had the ability
to
pull something up and be like,
I know.
I remember one time I got an email, 2 years ago, someone going like, you stole this bit. And I was like, what? You stole this bit from so-and-so. And I go, So I look up the guy's bit, and his bit of the same topic came out 2 years after mine.
Right.
So I reply to the person, did you check out these release dates? And I put mine and his. No response.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, oh, you engaged me, but then when I show you, he was like.
And then Ari had a thing. I was talking to Ari yesterday, and he's like, and what about the guy going like, oh, then South Park stole the bit. Like, nobody follows up and goes, hey, what the fuck, South Park?
Yeah, of course.
Not that it is the same bit, but I mean, the logic would be then somebody stole the bit.
Right.
But there's a lot of people policing it. They get very excited to point out that somebody, they haven't created anything themselves
ever. Of course. Those people always, the thing that always gets me is like when I have a bit out, you know, about something, then they'll be like, you took this like word for word from here. I'm like, word for word?
Right.
Let me look it up. And it'll be like, not even the same premise.
Yeah.
It'll just be like somewhat in the field of the same. You're like, these aren't even related.
Right, man. Right.
But I think to somebody like a troll like that, it's exciting to feel like, oh, I got one.
Yeah.
I got something on the line here.
And I can show my knowledge of comedy. I've seen other comedy and I can tell. But it's, you know, people have to understand, like, there's X number of concepts out there. You know, you're just going to naturally have similar stuff. And, like, I had a bit then, what's her name? Wolf.
Michelle Wolf.
Michelle Wolf did something that was very similar. And I got a lot of, you know, stuff on social media, but she's doing, no, it is a different bit. It's the same topic.
Right.
It has some of the same points of view,
right,
but it is thought out in a completely different way.
Right. Which is the way it should be. Like, there's only a certain number of topics we can get into, right?
Right.
Like, there's family, there's, you know, the society, there's religion, there's sex. Like, we're going to touch on these topics.
And also our points of view as comics is, you know, we're contrarian, you know, we're anti-establishment. So a lot of times our take on something will be the same.
Yeah.
You know, because we're challenging the status quo. So whatever, So yeah, it's tough, and there, you know, somebody should do a show on Comedy Central. Remember Short Attention Span Theater?
Yes.
I fucking love that show. Yeah, yeah. They used to show clips, like MTV would show videos, but it was, I think Jon Stewart hosted it at one point, and mm-hmm. Brian Regan hosted it at one point. And but I would love to have somebody track bits that are similar, and maybe in, you know, that you can say that's what they would do. That here's a topic, here's three bits on that topic. Let's see three different comedians and how they handle it.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
Yeah,
that'd be cool to watch. Yeah, I'm just I found it satisfying just to watch. Like I was like, oh, I love that you have the clip to show.
Yeah,
with the dates.
I know.
You know, it's got to feel good.
Yeah, that felt really good.
Did you fight a lot when you were growing up?
Oh yeah,
you were, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got, as a matter of fact, I have this scar on my head which happened in a fight in eighth grade, because I started shaving my head. Now it's popped up, and it's scabbing.
Oh,
because it's still I didn't get stitches, and I should have,
mm-hmm.
and it's scabbing again because it's still like fucking tender flesh after all these years. But I have I got scars on my hand. I got stabbed with a pencil.
Stabbed with a pencil?
Yeah, stabbed with a pencil.
In school?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I had my hand on the pencil, and this guy fucking took a number two pencil and just stabbed me with it and broke off.
Wait, he did that unprompted, or you guys were in the middle of a fight?
That started the fight.
That started it?
Yeah.
Jesus, was something said for him to do?
I was trying to cheat off of him, and he wouldn't let me.
Okay.
And then it led to something.
Yeah.
And then I had a kid in high school who, I forget how it even started, but then he got up, and his father is David Rukeyser, who's this really famous economist. He's always the guy on the news mm-hmm. when they ask about the economy. And so his son, also named David Rukeyser, we were going back and forth in class, and then he stomped on my foot. Oof. As he got out, and I chased him down the stairs, and I punched him in the face, and his nose just exploded with blood. And then he made it to the bottom of the stairs into the principal's office and passed out on the floor, which is just like, do you need more evidence to suspend me?
So you got suspended.
I got suspended for that.
How long did you get suspended for?
3 days.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
And then that this counts as like a mark against you kind of thing, or...
Yeah, I got off a little bit easy because I had a friend who died of cystic fibrosis, and I was supposed to go to his memorial, and my parents said, no, you're going to school. And that was the day that happened. And so when I went to when my parents had to come to school for the meeting about the suspension, I told the principal that they didn't let me go to John Houston's memorial, and the principal looked at my parents like, what the fuck is wrong with you two? No wonder he punched David Rukeyser in the face.
Right,
he's in mourning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that actually helped you.
Oh, it got me out of, I could have been expelled because it was a private school.
Oh, right. And
yeah.
And you blew his nose up.
I blew it up. Yeah.
And then what's the last fight you were in? Like how old were you for the very last fight you got in, physical fight?
Probably about 6 or 7 years ago.
Damn.
I was in, the recording studio, because I did a show on Howard Stern's channel for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And so there was a studio in Hollywood for the Sirius shows. And I pulled into this parking spot and of course I'm fucking late. I was always late for my own, and this wasn't a podcast. This was like, the show started at 5 o'clock.
Right.
And I would roll in at 5:01. They'd be playing the theme music and I would run in.
Really?
Yeah. And I once was so late that Andy Kindler, who's the fucking greatest, mm-hmm. was my guest, and so he hosted the first 10 minutes of the show because I was stuck in traffic, and all he did was shit on me for 10 minutes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I don't know how I didn't get fired because I was late so many times. So I pull into this spot, and the guy that owns the studio is standing out front, and he goes, you can't park there. I was like, I always park here. He goes, you can't park here. That's so-and-so's spot. And I go, look, I'm on the air in 10 seconds. I got to go. And so he starts fucking yelling at me, and I just keep walking, and he's following me, and he's yelling at me, and he's pointing in my face, and I'm yelling back at him. And Doug Stanhope was my guest, and he comes up to say hi to me, and he sees us fucking screaming at each other, and he just goes, whoa, guys, what the fuck? And then we keep walking, and then the guy says to me, he goes, fuck you. And I have this trigger with fuck you that is it for me. And so I took a swing at the guy, and Mike Gibbons, who you know,
yeah,
is my he was like my partner on the radio show. He dove in between us, and it's all on a
security cam.
And so and they broke it up, and then I literally walked in and
you must
started
have been
the
hot
show
on the show, right?
That's what's crazy about me is I can get into a fight and my heart rate barely goes up.
That's psychopathic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
And so this guy,
you're
so
like at ease with it, and you're like, I like confrontation.
I once, probably about maybe 12 years ago, I was driving to the hardware store, and I had my friend Will Hayes in the passenger seat, and it was in the morning, and we had to go to the hardware store for whatever reason, and I got a cup of coffee, and this guy comes driving down the street, and he's swerving back and forth and trying to run cars off the road. And I'm very protective of my neighborhood. So remember World According to Garp when Robin Williams like chases that car that's been speeding through his neighborhood? Mm-hmm. So I pull my car in front of the guy and I stop him and I get out of the car and I go up to the side window and I punch him in the face and his sunglasses come flying off and then he just backs up and he takes off. And I get into the car again and I had told Will to hold my coffee and I just reached and I got my coffee, put it in drive, and we kept driving to the hardware store. And he's like, you're not even breathing heavy. I'm like, no, we got to get a hammer, man.
Dude. You need to go to Monterrey, Mexico.
You know about a trailer I can get?
100 grand a week, man. Holy shit.
But I'm way under control. I've gone to therapy for it. And my father had a really bad temper.
Really?
And my mother. We used to get beat.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember the one time my cousin and I, you know, both of our moms are sisters and they're Peruvian. So we would learn, it's always fun to learn bad words in another language.
Yeah.
So we learned a couple and they weren't even the most vulgar words.
Yeah.
They're like the equivalent of saying like poop, butt, pee. Like
right,
that.
Right.
But we're like 7, 8 years old or something. And we're like singing it on the stairs. And like, I don't know what got into our moms that they're like, and they're like, so my mom goes to punish me. His mom spanks my cousin. He starts crying.
Uh-huh. Wait, how old were you?
Like, I think maybe 8, something okay. like that. 7 or 8. And she's like smacking him on the ass, you know, and he starts crying. And then my mom does it to me and I start laughing.
Ah.
And she does it harder, I laugh harder.
Uh-huh.
So she just took her nails and just dug into my skin and twisted until and it started bleeding out of my arm. And I was like, ow. And she was like, there. like she was like looking for something to hurt me, you know? I was like, the fuck? Like pinched it and twisted
Isn't
it.
Isn't that a weird impulse that a person whose job is to nurture you and protect you?
Yeah.
It's very fucked up for a kid to process that same person is now intentionally causing harm. You got to strip away the context of it.
Yeah.
And just the sole act that person is trying to harm you really fucks your head up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I don't think either party processes it in the moment, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, I'm sure like the parent, if you were to say that to them, they're like, fuck, I don't want to be doing that. You know?
Right.
But it's like, I don't know, it almost can overwhelm you wanting to correct your kid.
Right.
Right. In the moment, you go like, what can I do? I mean, it's because they don't know any better at the time, I think. Because obviously a more evolved parent doesn't go, I should just try to make my kid bleed, you know?
Right.
But
it's also that that's actually the giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think a lot of hitting, and I think in my parents' case, it was also, they were so angry and frustrated, they were letting out their frustration on you.
That makes
sense.
It
was not a teaching moment.
Right.
Yeah.
This is finally a place I can channel it.
Right.
I can get it out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is super fucked up.
Have you ever wanted to hit one of your kids?
I've been.
Obviously not the 2-year-old.
No. But like, I mean, I've never wanted to hit them. You get so frustrated sometimes,
yeah.
You know, like when they're this age, you know, it's the age where you can repeat a thing. It doesn't matter, you know,
yeah.
When they're toddlers and stuff. You're just like, you got to sit down and eat. You got to eat.
Yeah.
And they're to keep going. It makes you crazy.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to hit, but I've like, yeah, I've done like erratic, take the thing away and, you know, yeah, throw the food in the trash.
Uh-huh.
You like this toy? Guess what? You're not going to see it.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing, you know, where you're so upset when you do it. And then sometimes you're like, wow, I was really upset.
I could have handled that in a different way.
Oh yeah. Sometimes in the moment, you know, I've been like, no, like just like that kind of loud and you see their face and then you're like, fuck. And then I'm like, sorry, I said no.
Right.
You know, like you feel bad, but it's like, it's obviously, it's not just like that thing. It's usually a building thing, right? Where it's like, you're frustrated a little bit. Maybe you're frustrated by something not even related to this.
Right.
And it builds throughout. And then it comes to this moment and you react poorly. And then you're like, what did I?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the keys to parenting is like giving yourself, grounding yourself before you parent. And if that means meditation, if that means exercise, if that means, honey, I'm really at the end of my rope, I need to go take a walk for 20 minutes. Will you watch the kids?
That's a real key one. And I think you're lucky if your partner, your spouse, you can like see it with each other.
Right.
Like, there's times where I'm just like, it's starting where I'm like, God damn it. And like, and then, you know, Christine will be like, why don't you go like, go lay down or go watch something. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do the same. I'll be like, I'll see her and I'll be like, are you tired? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, just, I got him.
Tag out.
Yeah. Tag out.
Yeah.
And you realize you're just like, you're helping everybody when you do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, you think about your life and what you've accomplished and like, you know, career wise and all that stuff. And I really feel like breaking the cycle of violence in my family has been a big achievement.
Really?
You know, knowing that, because I know my parents were both beat. They told me stories, horrific stories.
Yeah. And that was in another time. Where,
yeah.
Like, that was probably a real beating too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like belts and.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got the belts.
You got
but
the belts.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah.
But it was, but I feel like I quit drinking a lot of years ago and I never hit my kids. And I feel like I've spent a lot of time reading books on parenting, going to therapy and talking about parenting. And, you know, I do a podcast about parenting now because I feel like I've got something to share.
Were you scared that you would be a violent person?
Oh, that's why I didn't get married. When I met my wife, I told her friend introduced us, and I said to her friend that night, I said, I'm going to marry your friend someday. I knew instantly. Have you ever met Erin?
Mm-mm.
No. She's incredible. Her energy, you'd meet her, and in 10 seconds, you just get her energy.
Uh-huh.
And but I couldn't pull the trigger on asking her to marry me for 3 years because I had to know that I wasn't going to drink and that I could be a good parent and that I wasn't going to cheat. And because I'd always cheated on girlfriends, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I had to say, like, I have to go 3 years without cheating. And I.
Oh, so you, like, you told, like, I got to see that I can do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I waited to ask her to marry me, and I really was afraid. But then once I had the kids, I felt like, no, I can do this.
Wow. And now you have, like, your kids are getting big, man.
But my daughter graduated high school. Both kids are out of high school now.
It's wild.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
You have, like, you know, they're adults.
Yep.
Legal adults, at least.
It's hard to make the adjustment now. Like, my daughter just went away for 4 days with her friends, and it's the first time she's gone away with her friends. They got an Airbnb up the coast in a little fucking beach town.
Yeah.
And they're going to hang out. And, you know, who cares what they do? You know, she's going to be 18 in a month.
Yeah.
But it's so weird for me to make that transition of, like, and that's the thing that you're going to face as a parent, and you're just starting to, is that you can't treat your kid at the age that they used to be.
Right.
You have to constantly look at them and go, like, oh no, you need more responsibility now, or I need to let go of chasing you.
That's
got to
be hard,
things.
Right?
It is. It's a leap of faith, because so much of your identity as a parent is taken care of, and which is control.
Right.
And as they get older, you have to just, you're doing them a disservice if you're not letting go of that control and giving them the autonomy to start figuring out who they really are and what they can do.
And your son's in college, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He'll be a junior next year.
Jesus.
Yeah. And he's a fucking good kid. He's the opposite of me. He is just so together and even and kind. I'm a piece of shit. I feel, he makes me feel like a piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah. He's too good.
That's sweet though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, how did I make you?
I don't know. He's so much like his mother. But, you know, I'll just be like, hey, man, you want to go play paddle tennis? Okay, let's go. You know, all my friends, like we're supposed to play golf today, and my friends are all, there's two groups, and like three of them are like, I want to play with Owen. Can I play with Owen? He's just like fun and cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he got it all from my wife.
That's awesome.
My daughter is me. She's got the temper.
Really?
She's got the sense of humor. Yeah.
That's super cool, man. Yeah. It's I'm at the age where you're really seeing their personality start to evolve. You know? It's wild. It's all the cliches of like, oh, you can't believe how fast. And it's like, I can't believe it already.
Right.
You know, like I feel like I walk by those, photos in the house of them as babies.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, now they're already, you know, running around.
These ones are getting too big to cuddle.
Yep. Yeah. And they're talking shit to us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. They get along.
They do. Yeah. I mean, the older brother still fucks with his little brother all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, they play together all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I'll be like, hey man, stop fucking throwing shit at him.
You're right.
Yeah.
Dude, you are in the sweet spot of where you don't want to be during COVID. Those ages are tough.
Yeah. I feel like it was almost a little tougher for the people who had kids just a few years older than mine, because those kids were like already like adapted to school. And
right.
And they're like, no, your kid's home now again.
Right, right, right.
And you got to teach them.
Yeah.
You're basically a teacher now.
Yeah.
I felt bad for those parents because our kids were like not quite, you know, school aged, mm-hmm. like getting ready. Like one of them, the older kid was doing like those half day pre-K kind of things.
Yeah.
But like, I just remember the first week we were home, I was like, you don't have to go to school now. He's like, is it just me? Like, am I the only one home? I was like, no, there's no school for anybody. He's like, oh, it's not just me. I was like, no. It's not. We didn't decide you don't go to school anymore.
Right.
No one's going to school.
Yeah.
But then they were like, okay. I mean, it just felt like they were just home again. You know?
Yeah.
But the kids, I mean, people who have like a 6 or 7 year old, like, oh man, like, and now you're a kindergarten teacher.
Right.
That's rough.
Right. Especially if the parents are working.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, you guys are both busy as shit.
Yeah.
But you got help, right?
Got help, yeah.
Yeah.
Which obviously helped so much to be able to continue to do things like this and tour, you know, even though touring stopped for a while.
Yeah.
It's back.
But the first month or two, did you not have the help come because of the quarantine?
Well, let's see. The first month, that would have been March and April. No, she came. She, like our regular lady, came over during that time. And then over the course of the year, there was all these different hiccups, you know. I was like, I got hurt, then I got COVID, then Christina had COVID, then eventually the nanny had got COVID. So
Jesus.
And then like she had to watch out for her family, and like, you know, so there was always something happening.
Damn. Yeah. What a year you've had. And you moved.
And I moved. And Christina got hurt. Yeah.
Damn.
So, yeah. And we're both touring and doing the podcast and moving our whole business there. So it's been a crazy year.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect that though. I mean, I know like life changes are hard. And when you have little kids, it's very easy to just sort of go like, no, we're here. We're not changing anything. And you guys decided to make a move. And
it feels like an adventure, you know?
Yeah.
Like it does, and it feels like they're at the age where you're like, this isn't going to like,
they're mobile.
Yeah, they're not going to be like, what the fuck is happening?
Right,
you know?
Right,
so
right.
That feels like, it does feel like an adventure. And I moved a lot. So this is like, I mean, you know, I'm saying different states all the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like this will be like our one big company move.
Yeah.
But it does sometimes I go, I can't believe we just moved like 1,200 miles. This is insane, you know?
Is it forever?
I mean, this is the thing. I remember going, you know, if we don't like it, we can move back, right?
Yeah.
Like you can always, it's a free country. You can move. And Christina was like, we're not fucking moving. Like they're set up in school and this is where we live. So I was like, okay, I guess we're staying.
Let me talk to you guys in August.
Yeah, I know. This is one of the weirdest, funniest things is like meeting people there and they're like, oh, you know, welcome. And everyone's so friendly. You meet people. I had a guy stop me and he goes, can I shake your hand? And I go, sure, man. And this is like on a street in Austin. He goes, like John David Smith. And I go, did you just give me your full name? And he was like, yeah. And he goes, I know who you are. Now you know who I am. I go, what the fuck, man? That's such a crazy thing to say to me.
Are you a realtor?
Yeah. Your full goddamn name.
Right.
But I forget what I was going to talk about.
And it gets hot in August.
Oh yeah, yeah. So people were like, everyone's like, so welcoming and friendly. And then people are like, a lot of people have said to me, so where are you going to spend summer? And I was like, what do you mean?
Oh, no shit.
And they're like, where are you going to spend your summer? And I was like, at home.
Yeah.
And they're like, here? And I'm like, yeah, I moved here.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but don't you leave for summer? I'm like, no. And I hadn't planned on it. Uh-huh. And they're like, you're going to want to.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. But then I tell them, I'm like, you know, I went to high school in Florida. And they're like, ah, oh, you'll be all
right. So, right. Well, where did Christina grow up?
Here, California. Oh. Yeah. But she grew up in the Valley where she's like, how much hotter is it in the Valley? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
It's hot. It's fucking hot. It's hot right now. It's like 97 now there.
No shit.
Yeah. But it's super hot as fuck here this week too.
Yep. 80 today.
Yeah.
But, well, that's why I live in Venice.
But 80 where you live.
Yeah.
But out here, it'll be upper 90s today.
Yeah. People don't understand that. It's 8 miles away.
Yeah.
And it's 20 degrees hotter consistently.
Yes. Yeah. When we moved over the hill, 20 degrees easy.
Yeah.
And yesterday when I got in the car here in the afternoon, it was 105, you know, in the car and cooking.
Yeah.
The Valley's hot, man.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not like, I don't love heat. But it's funny, people in Texas, they boast about their air conditioning.
They're like, oh, really?
How about this AC? And you're like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And they're like, yeah, I know. And it feels like there's a fucking turbocharger on the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere you walk
in. If I had to choose between heat and cold, like a cold winter somewhere,
yeah,
fucking heat anytime.
Yeah. Cold is
a cold.
Real cold
hurts.
Like like Winnipeg in February.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I remember doing 2 weeks there.
Yeah.
They had to do like one of those clubs where they're like, do you want to work back to back weeks? Uh-huh. And you're like, this is not humane.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, there's like a street you can stand on in Winnipeg where it's like the coldest intersection in
Canada.
It's
like a wind tunnel.
Yeah. It's like a wind tunnel. Like gets to like 50 below zero or something.
I'm
it's not tolerable, man.
No, but you know, when you're young, like I went to college in Boston. Boston
super
is so
cold.
Fucking cold. I do not remember ever feeling like I was suffering.
Yeah.
You wore a fucking denim jacket with the wool on the collar and you know, you just drank your face off.
Yeah.
Sneakers, not even boots.
Yeah. And you just kind of like just grind through it.
Yeah, you know? You'd walk from one party to the next. You walk a mile and it's freezing and the wind is whipping and you don't give a shit. And then you get older and you're like, I can't handle 10 steps of this shit.
You change quickly. Because I remember, so we first lived in Cincinnati as a kid, then Minneapolis, which was so goddamn cold,
right?
Oh my
God, yeah.
And then Milwaukee, and then finally Milwaukee into Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
We moved from Milwaukee to Vero Beach in November.
Nice.
And I remember that I went to school like the first day in shorts and a t-shirt. And it's November in Florida, which is like, let's say this week it could have been like 58.
Yeah.
Right? Kids had on hoodies.
Yeah.
And then they see me and they're like, who's this lunatic? And I was like, yeah, I just moved from Milwaukee.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
This is summer weather.
Right, right.
Like, I couldn't. But so I had this like incredible tolerance for cold.
Uh-huh.
Dude, a year later. Yeah. I was the same person, like right. Same as them.
Right, right,
sweatshirt,
right.
Like your blood just changes.
So yeah.
I think you have to be in extreme cold for decades before that doesn't happen to you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like Josh Potter moved from Buffalo out here and I was like, you'll change. And it's been like a couple of years and he's like, no.
Yeah.
He still is comfortable in the cold.
Right.
And he thinks 75 is oppressive heat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also being fat helps in the cold.
It does.
Like you see guys like in New York that it's fucking, you know, like you said, it's like 50.
Yeah.
And they got on the flip flops and the tank top. Yeah. And then you see the skinny guy and he's like trembling like a chihuahua.
Sure. Yeah. And you see like fatter people in a lot of those cold places. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
You remember the movie Titanic? Remember when they're in the fucking water with the icebergs and Kathy Bates is just fucking sitting there eating a hot dog. Leonardo DiCaprio's trembling and he dies.
That fat's good for something.
Yeah,
man.
You gotta store it.
Man. So how many, where can we send people to watch and listen?
Well, first of all, the podcast is Fitzdog Radio. That's Fitzdog been going Radio. For about 12 years.
Yep.
You've been on it half
fantastic.
A dozen times. And then I do a podcast with Mike Gibbons called Sunday Papers, where we go through funny stories from the week, and that's kind of been blowing up. That's really exciting. We've been doing that for about a year.
Great, and that's available everywhere podcasts are.
Everywhere they're
on
around.
YouTube as well?
YouTube as well.
Okay.
And then Childish I do with Allison Rosen. And then I got tour dates I'm going to announce next week coming up for the summer and the fall at fitzdog.com.
F-I-T-Z?
F-I-T-Z-dog.com.
Fitzdog.com. Go see him live. You're one of my absolute favorite comics to watch.
Oh, I feel thanks,
like,
man.
I totally mean it. I feel like, you know, the biggest compliment I could pay to you as a comedian is that, A, whenever you're on stage, I'll definitely watch. It's definitely something where I'll watch you and I'm like, man, because I always feel like it's obvious that you're putting in work, so it makes me want to work harder. And then if I know you're on a show that I'm on, I will look at my set list and I'll be like, I can't fucking do that joke in front of Greg.
Ah.
And I'll cross that out like that.
God.
So, yeah.
Oh, you're great. That's very nice. I appreciate the kind
you're
words.
Great. So thanks for coming today.
Yeah, I had a blast.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.